Today's daf is daf Samach Dalid. We were still on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara is dealing with this question: if a payment happens later, can it still be considered a swap? So this all started from the practice of the household of Rabbi Yannai. They used to borrow Shemitah fruit from poor people, and they would pay back in year 8, when it was past the time of Biur. If a payment that happens later is still a swap, then when they pay back in year 8, it becomes Shemitah fruit. Post the time of Biur, it becomes prohibited. So they're just giving people prohibited items. So the Gemara said, no, Rabbi Yochanan said what they did was fine, because by the time they were paying back, the Shemitah fruit's already been consumed, so it doesn't become a swap. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? How could you say that a payment that comes back later is not considered a swap? We learned that Rav Sheshes asks from a Braisa. The Braisa says that a man can tell his workers, here's a coin, go use the coin for whatever you want, buy food, buy drink. So then if they buy Shemitah fruit, if they buy items that don't have Meiser hasn't been taken from, that's not his fault. He's not feeding them non-kosher, he's just giving them money. But if he tells them, you go to the store, get from the store, and then I'll pay the tab, well, then there is a then there could be problems. If they go to the store and they get stuff which maestros haven't been taken from, and he then pays the tab, so he's giving them the non-kosher. So why is he giving them the non-kosher? He's paying when the stuff's already consumed. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the answer is it's talking about a store owner that he has a regular credit with. He always buys on credit. He always pays off the credit. So therefore, when the workers get the food of Shemitah from the store owner, so basically right away at that very moment that there's the delivery of the food, at that moment there's also the acquisition of his coin. So therefore it's considered that his coin is literally, right away going for prohibited stuff, and that's why it's a problem. So Gemara says, one second, but if he would be buying from a store owner who doesn't normally give him credit, it's permitted. So then the Mishnah should have mentioned that. And furthermore, why didn't the Mishnah say the only time there's a problem, there's a problem if he tells the workers, you go buy from the store and then I'll reimburse the store. That's when it was the store owner that he has a long-time relationship with. But if it's a store owner that he's just visiting for the first time, there's no guarantee that there's going to be an acquisition, then it would be okay. And the truth really is, even that store owner, why should it be okay? Didn't Rava say that if you tell somebody, in the example we gave, you tell Jason, right? We have the law that guy tells his friend, you give Gavriel money, and in return, my possessions become yours. And they do become Jason's possessions, because that's the concept of a guarantor, of an arev. So if the employer tells the store owner, you give employees food, and I'm going to pay you, so the moment the store owner gives the employees the food, the payment becomes the possession of the store owner. So then, right at that time, when he's giving Shemitah fruit, he's getting possession of the money. So the store owner is basically buying Shemitah fruit. He's doing the sin. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rava, let's start from there, in the middle of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Rather, Rava said, Lo Shna Makifo, whether the store owner normally gives the employer credit, Lo Shna Shein Makifo, or if the store owner normally doesn't give the employer credit, afal gav de meshabed lei, even though by the employer telling the store owner, you give food to the employees, now the employer's money is obligated to the store owner. Kevin lo miyachet shibude, since there is no specified coin, lo mitzar, it doesn't become prohibited with shmita status. So if that's the case, alahacha, so why did we say in the Mishnah that if the employer tells the employees, you go to the store, you'll get from the store, and I'll pay the store owner. So amai choshesh.
Sounds like Lloyd.
Is that
Lloyd? Lloyd's phone.
Is that Lloyd or is it mine?
No, Lloyd.
Definitely Lloyd.
Okay. So then the Gemara says Elahachas over here. Elahachas, but in this case, amai choshesh mishum shvius. Why is there an issue of maybe shmitah problems when he says to them? That I think is my phone. Let me just turn that off. Sorry. It's going around.
Maybe Lloyd's trying to call it out. Snow alert.
Here's the box in the room. I got Lloyd. Today you are here.
Okay, so why did the Braisa say that there's a problem of Shemitah if he tells the workers, you go get from the store owners and I'll pay them? But he doesn't have a dedicated coin for that purchase. So Rav Papa said, "Kagon shiktimlo." So in our case of the Mishnah, it's where the employer had already given to the store owner a coin. Shiktimlo dinar. He had given the store owner a coin. And then he tells the employees, there's a coin that's already at the store owner creating credit. You go get food there. So now when they get food right away, there's a coin extant and it's a dedicated coin. So there's a swap and therefore there it's him, you know, he's in the problem if let's say Shemitah, right? Because right when they take the Shemitah fruit, the coin gets the status of Shemitah. And if this store owner is someone who doesn't treat Shemitah the right way, you're not supposed to give things that have Shemitah sanctity to him. So Amar Rav Kahana said, Amrita l'shmaiti kamed Rav Zvid min Harda. I told this explanation in front of Rav Zvid from the Harda. Amar Lisa, he said to me, Yuck, if that's what's going on, Adatani, instead of the Mishnah saying that where is there a problem, if the employer tells the employees, Tzu v'ichu, go out and eat, Tzu shtu, go out and drink, Vani pore, and I'll pay the tab. It shouldn't be that. Where is there a problem? Tzu v'ichu, if he tells them, go and eat, go and drink, Vani machashev, and I will calculate how much you took relative to the coins that I've already given to the store owner, Miboyle. That's what should have been said. Amalais, he said, you're right, so change it. It's neat, so just change the language. Where is it okay if he says, here's a coin, now go spend it? That's okay. But if he says, there's already a coin at a store, go buy from the store whatever you want, and I'll figure out with the store owner how much of the coin you've taken, that's the problem. Tzuvani machashev, go out, and I will calculate is where there's a problem. Answer number two. Rav Ashi said the case of the Braisa, which said that where an employer cannot tell employees, go and buy food, and I'll pay the tab. He could tell them, here's money, and go and buy food. You know why we're paying the tab is a problem? Can go and shenatal v'nasim biyad, where the employer is going to the store, and he's actually taking by hand stuff, and handing it to the employees. So I'm a layer of Yemelar Vashi, so if that's the case, that the employer is literally taking Shemitah stuff or other prohibited items and giving it to the employees, Adatani, this is said in the Braisa, Tzuva Ichlu Tzuvishtu, go out and eat, go out and drink. It shouldn't be go out, which sounds like go out and purchase. It's actually Tzuva Ichlu, it's actually take and eat. Tzuvishtu, take and drink me, Baile. So I'm a layer, so he said, okay, I'll also change the Braisa, Tzvi, change the Braisa. Tluva ichlu, tluva shtu. Go out and eat, go out and drink. Okay.
So the store owner doesn't tell him this is a shmata fruit.
Well, maybe he does. Maybe they're just not so religious.
So what happens if he doesn't? You know, so he's eating the shmata without knowing.
That would be a different issue. That would be the issue of lifnei iver l'asita michshol. That's the issue of don't cause a stumbling block. That's another issue.
That's another
thing. Yasiv, Rav Nachman, Ula, Avimi Bar Papi. Rav Nachman, Ula, and Avimi Bar Papi were sitting. Yasiv, Rav Chia Bar Ami Gabayu. And Rav Chia Bar Ami was sitting with them. Yasiv, Rav Chia Bar Ami, they had the following question. We learned in the very beginning of our Masech, the very beginning of this chapter, that the sages created a prohibition on a worker who takes a job to work with Yei Nesach. So if he takes a job to transport wine that was poured to an idol, he can't take the wages. So that really teaches us a broader principle, which is going to be one of the interesting topics that we'll see on today's daf. It's called Rotza B'Kiyumo. Since we're supposed to get rid of idolatry, the sages are upset if a person wants an item of an idol to exist. So they prohibited rabbinically even wanting it to exist. You can't do actions that display that you want it to exist. So what about the following case? Let's say Scharo Lishbo B'yei Nesach, the non-Jew, maybe he's doing a little tshuva. He decides he wants to get rid of his wine that was poured to the idols. So he hires a Jew. He says, listen, come work for me. Every barrel you break of mine and cause the wine to spill, I'll pay you $5. So is a Jew allowed to take that type of a job? So Matt, what's the halacha? Do we say, Kiman the Rotz B'Kiyumo, the Jew, by taking such a job, wants the barrels to exist? Because the more they exist, the more he has a chance to break them and get money per barrel. If they would, let's say, be struck by lightning and just disintegrate by a thunderbolt, then he's not going to get any money because the guy, he has no job. So the fact that he wants them to exist maybe is a problem, and then he can't take the money. Alternatively, Odilmer, maybe, Kalamute Tifla, Shapidami. This is a rabbinic prohibition. Don't want idolatry items to exist. And here, we have a chance to get rid of an idolatrous item. So any time we have a chance to get rid of something, to get rid of an Aveira, then the rabbi suspended their prohibitions and it's allowed. So I'm Rav Nachman answered, it's allowed. Yishbor v'tavol of bracha. If the Jew is hired to break barrels of idolatrous wine, he can take the job, let him break it, he can get paid. He deserves a blessing. Says the Gemara, maybe we can bring a proof to Rav Nachman from another topic of prohibited items, kilayim. We know that you're not allowed to get any benefit from, let's say, wheat that grew in the middle of a vineyard. Says the Braisa, ain odin imovid kochav mikilayim. Let's say there's a non-Jew who has a vineyard. So he says to the Jew, you know what, I want to hire you to come into my vineyard that has wheat growing in it and dig with me. So you can't do that. Aval okunimo, but you can take the job to uproot the kilayim with him, even though you're getting paid. If you're taking the job to uproot the kilayim, so you want the kilayim to be here in order to be able to uproot it and get money, you're not supposed to be wanting prohibited items. The answer is that since your job is to uproot them, kedelamute esatifla, to remove sin, to remove the item that's prohibited, it is allowed. Says the Gemara, 1 second, Svarua, they thought, this law of this brisa that allows you to take a job to work with a non-Jew, to uproot, kilayim, money, who is the author of this brisa? Rabbi Akiva, he, d'amar mekayim b'kilayim loka, who says that there's a prohibition of wanting kilayim to exist and doing an act that helps kilayim exist further, which is already deserving of malchus, because there's a whole question. What is the prohibition of crossbreeding? Is it the planting together? Or maybe it's even broader. Let's say a person puts up some type of a net on top of the crossbreeded plant to prevent bugs from coming and consuming that. Is that also considered the prohibition? According to Rabbi Akiva, it is. Rabbi Akiva says actions that show that you want them to exist and you help them exist also gets lashes. And Ditanya, this is an abraisa. Hamanakesh, somebody who's uprooting weeds to help the wheat grow better together with the grapes, or a machape, or he's covering seeds of grapes with the wheat. Bikilayim loka, that gets lashes, because that's helping growth. Rabbi Akiva says, Afamakaim, even doing something that just shows that you want it to exist, let's say you put a fence around it, that also gets lashes. My time, Rabbi Akiva, the reason Rabbi Akiva, my crocus apostle, says, Behem tuchalo tarbiya kilayim, don't crossbreed your animals. Sat halo tizra kilayim, don't plant your field with crossbreeds. And the other Zoreya, so the pasuk seemingly is only talking about don't plant. But Kaimi 9, how do we know you're not even allowed to do actions of wanting it to continue to exist? Talmud Lomar, that's where the verse says, Behem tuchalo tarbiya kilayim, and then you can just read it on, Lo tarbiya kilayim, right? And then it goes on to sadcha. So it could be, lo kilayim sadcha. There shouldn't be kilayim in your field. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva holds, you can't work with the non-Jew You can't do for the non-Jews, kilayim, things that would want it to continue to exist. And yet this very same Brisa said, if the non-Jew wants to hire you to uproot kilayim, you can take the job, even though, doesn't that mean you want it to exist for a moment so you can uproot it? But apparently, since you're uprooting a sin, it's allowed. V'ilim ute tif l'shari, but to uproot the kilayim was allowed. So the same way you can uproot kilayim, you can take a job to break yei nesach. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Lo, honey, maybe the Brisa that says you can take the job to uproot kilayim is the Rabbanan, who hold that the only sin of kilayim is planting kilayim. So Gemara says, one second. Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan who say that the sin is only the planting, my Iria Okrin, so then why did the Brisa say you can take a job with a non-Jew to uproot kilayim? Afilu kiyumi nami shop your dummy, you can even take a job with a non-Jew to build a fence around the kilayim, because it's only a sin to actually plant. So answers the Gemara, and what's the case here? Where the Jew is working for the non-Jew and not getting paid. There's a prohibition, lo sechanim. We're not supposed to give unearned gifts to non-Jews. We're not supposed to show them love and favor, be giving them gifts that they're not doing anything for us.
So, any gift.
So if it's an employee, it's not an unearned gift because it's really a transaction. You want something from him. But to just go out and give gifts without, you know, not getting anything, not looking to get anything, that you can't do. So here the Jew is working for the non-Jew for free. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Damalik Lamat Naschinam Asur, says you're not allowed to give a free gift to a non-Jew. So therefore, really, the Jew, you should say, shouldn't be taking a job, but shouldn't be doing this for the non-Jew. He's doing him a favor. So that's what the Brisa is saying. Since the favor is to uproot kilayim and reduce the amount of sin in the world, that you're allowed to do. So the Brisa, one second. Mid Rabbi Yehuda, Nishmal Rabbi Akiva. So from Rabbi Yehuda, we can already learn a lesson about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not the sin of kilayim, it's the sin of lo sechanim. But he waives the sin of lo sechanim for the greater objective of reducing amounts of kilayim in the world. So that should mean also that we would waive the sin of supporting kilayim for the sake of reducing the amount of kilayim in the world. Lavam Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say here also we can mat naskin? You're not to give to a non-Jew a free and unearned gift. But nevertheless, he waves that in order to reduce the items of sin. So Rabbi Akiva, let's say the same thing. Also, even though Rabbi Akiva says that if you want Kilayim to exist and you do an act that shows you want it to exist, like by building a wall around the Kilayim, you deserve lashes. Yet Limute Tifla Shapir Dami, but to reduce it, it should be allowed. So therefore, you should be able to take a job to smash bottles of Yei Nesech. You're right. The Sulo Midi, we don't need to prove this any further. We've resolved the question. Okay, that was the first point. We've introduced the concept of Rotza B'Kiyumo. There is a problem in wanting a prohibited item to exist, but if you're wanting it to exist in order to then right away destroy it, there is no problem. All right, so they had a second question. How do Yasu become your brother? Then they sat and they had a second question. We know that if you swap idolatry for money, the money gets the status of idolatry. That's true if a Jew does it. What about a non-Jew? Mm-hmm. A non-Jew swaps his idol for some money. Mahu, what's the status of the money? In the hands of a non-Jew, does money get the status of idolatry? Olo or not? Amru Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to them, "Istabra, it makes sense. That the whole law that money swapped for idols become idolatrous is if a Jew swaps the money. A Jew gives an idol for money, but if a non-Jew, it's all with non-Jews. It doesn't catch its swaps. How do we know that? There was a story where these non-Jews came in front of the Rabbi Bar Avuah. They came to Rabbi Bar Avuah. They wanted to convert." Amaluhus, he said, listen, I'm going to give you advice. You're going to join the Jewish people. It's going to be expensive. So Zilus Vilu Komad Islachu. Go quickly sell all your idols and your crosses and your icons and your idolatrous books. And then when you have the money, it's Gairu. Then convert. So my time, what's the logic? So what does it help? If it was swapped by a non-Jew, it also becomes idolatrous. How did it help? Apparently, Mishum the Kasaver. Apparently, Rav Baravua holds. May I wrote as Kochav Miyadovit Kochav Mutarim. Money for an idol in the hands of non-Jews is all allowed. So Gemara says, but Vilma Shiny Asim, but maybe there was different. The cave of the Diet of Ligiura, these are non-Jews who are looking to convert. So Vaday Batla. So even before they sell it, they're annulling it from being a religious item. They don't think it's so significant. Elameyacha, so this was the proof. We learned in a brisa, Yisrael, so you know, Shabbat v'kochav maneh, if a Jew has lent 100 to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew, he's coming to the non-Jew, he says, pay me back. So the non-Jew says, okay, no problem. Umachav v'kochavim, the non-Jew sells his idol, the heavy loan, with that payment for the idol, he gives him the 100. Or the non-Jew sells his yei nesech, he sells his bottle of prohibited wine, the heavy loan, he gives him the money. That's fine, the Jew's allowed to take that repayment. Ava, but if the Jew goes to the non-Jew and says, give me back my money, Imam alone, the non-Jew says back, just wait for me. I just have to go sell the idol, I'm going to give you the money from the idol. Or wait for me, I'm going to go sell the yei nesech, and I'm going to give you the yei nesech. Then the Jew's not allowed to take the money. Also, the Jew can't take the money. The Jew can't benefit from such money. So the Gemara says, so what's the difference? In the beginning, the non-Jew didn't inform the Jew of what he's planning to do. But in fact, he sold an idol. In the end, he tells him, I'm going to go sell an idol. So now it's not allowed. Why? Amar Rav Sheshus explained. Safe in the end, where he says, I'm going to sell an idol. That's what, it's not allowed. Because then the Jewish lender wants the idol to exist. Right? If he tells me, don't worry, you're going to get your 100. I'm going right now to the market to sell the idol. So I don't want any flash of lightning to come and strike him down and burn up his idol. Because if that would happen, I'm not going to get my money. So I want the idol to exist for the next 20 minutes till he sells it. So if I want it to exist, that's already a problem. I can't want it to exist. But if I don't know what he's doing, I said, give me back 100. He goes and he sells an idol. I don't know what he's doing. I don't have a desire for an idol to exist. He could find the money some other way. Maybe he could sell a shirt. He sold an idol. Okay, that was his choice. Then I could take the money. So the Gemara says, 1 second, v'chi rotza b'kiyumo kai gavna, if a guy wants the idol to exist in such a way, just so that he can get repaid. Mi aser, is that prohibited? Vatzdab, we learned in a Mishnah. Ger vovid kochavim, shiar shavien ovid kochavim. Let's say a non-Jew dies, he has a son who's still non-Jewish, and he has a second son who converted. So ger yachalomer lo, the Jew, the convert can tell the other brother, tol atavodas kochavim, okay, you get the idols, and in return, animos, let me get the money of father. Or tol ata yainesech, you take the wine that's prohibited, vani peros, I'll get fruits, I'll get wheat. However, but if it's already in the house of the Jewish convert, he can't say, okay, now I'm swapping for you, I'm going to give you the idol, you give me the money. Also, it's not allowed, because then he is like selling idolatry and benefiting from idolatry. So what do you see in the first case? When the father died, the son wants the idols to exist for a little bit, because if the idols would be struck down by lightning, then he's not going to get as much money, right? He's going to have to split up the money. He wants to get the money so that the other brother is going to get, he wants the other brother to get the idols so he can get all the money. So until those idols get delivered to the brother, he wants them to exist. He doesn't want them to be blown up by some bomb coming down from the sky. So it's rotza b'kiyumo, and yet it's allowed. Rava Bar Ula said that Mishnah Masnisin, that Mishnah is Bavodas Kochav Mischalekes. That's talking about an idol of gold. So since it's an idol of gold, it's not as if he wants the idol to exist. Even if the idol would be blown up, broken up into pieces, the pieces would have the same value. If Ishvara would have value because it's pieces of gold. So it's not that he wants the idol to exist per se. The idol can be broken too. That's not called rotza b'kiyumo. So you might say, 1 second, teinach avodas kochav, that's fine if we talk about an idol. Yei nesach ma'ikolamim, what are you going to say about the prohibited wine? He wants the wine to exist. It's not as if he's open to the wine barrel being broken open and spilling, because if it spills open, then there's nothing going to be for the brother who's not Jewish, and he's going to have to split up some of the coins that he wants to get. So Gemara says, no, the barrel wine barrel could be Becheres Hadriani, it could be the Hadrianic wine barrels. We saw earlier that the Hadrianic, the Roman wine barrels, had tremendous tastes in the earthenware, and the pieces of earthenware could be put into water and then recreate a wine. So he doesn't really care for the barrel. The barrel can also be broken because it'll still have the pieces. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? This Jewish convert wants that the barrel should not be stolen. It shouldn't be lost. So if there's a problem of rotza b'kiyum, of wanting idolatrous items to exist, he wants the idolatrous items to exist. Elam Rav Papa, so Rav Papa introduces a new idea. You're asking us from Yerusha Sagerka Marta, from a case of inheriting by a convert, Shiny Yerusha Sager Dakilu Barabanan. The rabbis were lenient about a convert inheriting from his non-Jewish father because they said, if we're going to really keep the normal law and say he shouldn't be inheriting because he wants idols to exist, then he might go back to being a non-Jew. Shema Yavza Lekilkulo. Maybe he'll go back to the bad ways of idolatry. So to keep him from going back to the bad ways of idolatry, even though normally they made a law of Rotza B'Kiyumo that you can't want idols to exist, you can't do business deals that entail wanting an idol to exist, but here there was a leniency. They suspended that. The same way we said that they suspended the law of Rotza B'Kiyumo if the business deal is to destroy the idol, so too, they suspended the law of Rotza B'Kiyumo when it's inheriting from a non-Jewish father to a convert, because otherwise he may go back to the ways of idolatry.
Rabbi, is allowed, not allowed? Is questioning today is allowed or no question, you know, not allowed?
Got a lot of ground to cover.
I have another question to ask you.
After davening, we'll talk about that because we have a lot of ground to cover. Tanya Namiyachi, we also learned in a brisa like this. When is this so that the convert can tell his brother who's not Jewish and say, listen, you take the idols, I'll take the money. Sheyarshu, when they are inheriting.
Yeah, but why is there inheritance with a convert anyways? Doesn't he give up his family?
In Torah law, he would give up his family. But if...
but why is the Torah dealing with it?
No, because if as long as they're willing to give, he's allowed to take.
He still keeps his assets.
Yeah. When is this true? Sheyarshu, when they are inheriting. Avol nishtatfu, but let's say it's not a brother with a convert, but rather it's two partners, a Jew and a non-Jew, and they're in a business together, and they want to divide up the business. Usser, then you're not allowed to do it. The convert can't say, okay, we'll divide it this way. You take all the idols, and I'll take the money. Because this is only allowed in inheritance, because the point of inheritance is to enable them to stay, you know, somewhat connected. But it wouldn't be allowed in a partnership. Okay. Hadar Yasuf coming by. Then they said they had a third question. These Amorim. Next question. Ger Toshav, a non-Jew who's a special non-Jew. He's Ger Toshav. He's the resident stranger. Maushi Vatla Vodas Kochavim. If he annuls an idol, is it considered annulled? So the Gemara explains. Is it the Palach Mevatel? Only those non-Jews who actually worship idols, they can annul idols. The Lo Palach Lo Mevatel, the non-Jews who don't worship idols, can annul idols. Or maybe, called the Varmini, anything, anyone who's connected to the idols, namely the non-Jew, Mevatel can annul an idol. The High Varmini, he's still a non-Jew. Amaluhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, I think he can't annul an idol. Mastabo, it makes sense to me. To Palach Mevatel, those who worship idols can annul idols. To Lo Palach Lo Mevatel, those who don't worship the idols can't annul it. Challenges the Gemara. Meisve will ask you a question we learned. Yisrael Shematza Vodas Kochavim Vashuk. If a Jew finds an idol in the street, Achlo Basliyado, if he hasn't picked it up, Omalovit Kochavim Mevatel, he can tell a non-Jew, hey, you come over and annul it. Misha Basliyado, but once he's lifted it, Eino Omalovit Kochavim Mevatel, he can't tell a non-Jew to come and annul it because it belongs to a Jew, and idolatry that belongs to a Jew cannot be annulled. So why can he tell the non-Jew to come and annul it? Because they've said, Allah is, as we've seen before, a non-Jew can annul the idol that belongs to him or that belongs to his friend. Bein ovda, bein shalo ovda. Whether he worships it or he doesn't worship it. So now let's understand that last line. My ovdo, my sheino ovda. What is the meaning of whether he worships it or whether he doesn't worship it? If we're talking about a non-Jew who's an idol worshiper, And there's the non-Jew, there's an idol that's his. A non-Jew, there's an idol that isn't his. What's his, he worships. What isn't his, he doesn't worship. So, Ayin Shalom v'Shal Chaveru, that's the same thing as the first case. His or his friends. El Olav, so how do you read this line? Ovda, whether he's worshiping it, namely, whether he's an Ovid Kochavim, whether he's an idolatrous non-Jew. And what's Eino Ovda? He doesn't worship it. He's a Ger Toshav. He's a non-Jew, doesn't worship idols. No, Ger Toshav, Nami Mevatel. So you see that a non-Jew, any non-Jew, even a Ger Toshav, can annul idols. Says the Gemara, lo, that's not the way to read it. Lo, really, I can tell you, Idvi, both of the cases of Ovda, whether he worships it, or Eino Ovda, he doesn't worship it, is an Ovid. Kochavim is a non-Jew, is worshiping idols. So what does it mean, Ovda? To Kamarta, this is you asked, Hainu Shalom v'Shal Chaveru, these two cases are the same two cases as his or his friends. It's like this, Reisha, the beginning of his and his friends, means Zevezel Upor, both of them are Poor followers, or Zevezel Markalis, both of them are Markalis followers. And whether he owns the Markalis, or his friend owns the Markalis, he can annul it. Seifa, the end is, whether the idol is Poor, and he himself is a Markalis follower, he can annul it. Zelapor v'zelamarkalis. So not only does he not own this idol, he doesn't even believe in this faith. He believes in another faith. But he's still an idol worshiper. But maybe we don't see that a Ger Toshav, who's not an idol worshiper, can annul an idol. Okay, but Rav Nachman felt that a Ger Toshav cannot annul an idol. Asks the Gemara, I'll challenge you. We learned, Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned, Ezeu Ger Toshav. What is the non-Jews called Ger Toshav? So we now have a couple of opinions. Opinion number one. Kol shekibul olav b'fnei shlosh shechaverim shlolav adavodas kochavim divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says any non-Jew who makes a commitment in front of three sages that he will not worship idols. That's it, just not to worship idols. Chacham say kol shekibul olav sheva mitzvah shekibul olav b'nei noach. He makes a commitment in front of three sages that he will accept all seven of the commandments given to Noach. And achayim olav, others say, Elu Lo bolichlal ger toshav. These cases, a guy who says he's not going to worship idols or he's going to keep the seven mitzvos, neither is the ger toshav yet. Elezeu ger toshav. What's ger toshav? He's keeping all the mitzvos. The ger ochel nevelos. He's allowed to eat non kosher because the Torah says, "Give the nevelot la, you know, give it to the ger." So he eats things that weren't shechted correctly. But kibbol the kaim kol mitzvos amuris b'torah chutz mitzvos nevelos. He's accepted upon himself to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, except for the law of not eating nevela. Okay, so the Braisa first has a three-way dispute. What is a Ger Toshav? Now, what about wine? Says the Braisa, miyachdin etzlo yayin. In the store of the Ger Toshav, you can put a barrel of wine for him to watch, and we're not worried that maybe he's going to touch it, since he doesn't worship idols. Therefore, he's certainly not going to touch the wine. He's not going to pour it to an idol. And even in terms of a non-Jew coming in and touching the wine, he gets no benefit from that, so he's not going to allow that to happen. However, ain mafkidin etzlo yayin, but you can't put wine in his control for long-term watching, because then maybe he'll get confused what wine is his, what wine is the wine that he's watching. He might give you his wine, which you're not allowed to drink. V'afilu b'yishu b'yisrael, this is true even in a city that's mostly Jews. Avo miyachdin etzlo yayin. But you can, again, you can give him wine for a short time to watch. Even if the majority of the people there are non-Jews. Now, another law about Ger Toshav. Shamno kiyeno. The oil of a Ger Toshav is like the wine of a Ger Toshav. So Gemara says, one second. Shamno kiyeno salka daitach. The wine, you can't drink the wine of a Ger Toshav. But the oil is not kosher. Shemen mika havi nesach. How does oil become non-kosher? Ela yeno kishamno. The point is, his wine is like his oil. Just like you can't drink the wine, so too you can't drink the oil. But you can get benefit from it. Ulishar kol davar. Now, in regards to all other halachos, a ger toshav areu kovid kochavim is considered like a non-Jew. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, yeno yenesach. The wine of a ger toshav is like yenesach. You can't even get benefit from it. Others say, mutter b'shtia, that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's totally permissible, you can even drink it. Katani miyas, but the point of why we quoted this whole price about Ger Toshav, is l'sh'ar kol dvarav areyu kovid kochavim. In regards to all other halachos, he's like a non-Jew. L'may hilchasa, what's the point? Lav d'mavat l'avodas kochavim kovid kochavim. Isn't it to say that he can annul idols like the non-Jew can annul idols? Amale Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, lo, no. Maybe a Ger Toshav can and no idols. But the point of why he's like the non-Jews in regards to Hilchos Erevin, Litein Rishus, Levatil Rishus, Kedetanya, as we learned in a Bryson. Or it's in regards to Erevin, sometimes the people in a courtyard, you need them to annul their domain. A non-Jew has the ability to annul his domain. He's like a non-Jew that maybe merely annulment is not enough. You actually have to rent the domain from him. Oh, yeah. Sneaky duck in the middle of